Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Today's topic that we're going to dive into is reading and teaching reading right from the beginning when you have your baby. We're going to be talking to Maya Payne Smart, whose book is called Reading for Our Lives. This is all about the importance of reading to your baby, reading to your children, and having them really hopefully fall in love with reading and books to have it be a big part of their lives. So we're going to get right into it. Okay, Maya, I am really excited to launch into this book because it is, I feel like, targeted directly to me from birth to 6 years old, with some things that apply to kids a little bit older, all about the importance of reading for your children, which I love. Let's just get into what this book is about.
Thank you so much for having me. So many parents think about reading to their kids, and they think about kids learning to read themselves as they get closer to the school years. So with this book, I really wanted to bring parents' attention to all the exciting things that are going on developmentally with babies and toddlers and preschoolers that don't necessarily look like reading, but absolutely lay a language foundation for it.
So I remember when I had my first daughter, Lila, and I remember hearing, oh, you should start reading to her right from the beginning, even though it doesn't seem like she might be paying attention. It's just important for her to already be around the idea of being read to, books. And I grew up around books, so I loved the idea of that. But can you explain the purpose and the intention behind really starting to read to babies right from the beginning?
Absolutely. So one of the most valuable gifts that you give to your child from a reading perspective is language experience. So words and vocabulary and just that experience with the rhythms of our language. And so books are, especially for the sleep-deprived new mom in those early days, you don't always feel creative. You don't always feel like having a conversation with a baby that's not saying anything back to you yet in words. So books are just a wonderful way to build that habit of sharing language with your child. And it's not always about just getting from the first page to the last page, particularly with babies with short attention spans, but it's about pointing to things, letting them touch the books and chew the books and throw the books or wherever they are, depending on their age, but beginning to have those conversations with them about books and having them start to build that interest and excitement about them.
Does it do something, I mean, does something go on in their brain when you're doing that from a very early age? Because as you mentioned, it's not like when you're reading to a newborn that they have a ton of feedback with what book you're necessarily reading to them or the story being captivating. So can you kind of explain what goes on for a baby in their brains when parents actually introduce books from the beginning to them?
Absolutely. So the real power is not so much the book as an object, but more that interaction and relationship with you, the parent. So the book is just sort of a medium or a way to get more of those back and forth engagements that build the brain. So as opposed to handing your phone to a little one and having them just watch the images go across the screen, when you're reading a book, again, they're hearing you, but you're also watching their gaze. What are they paying attention to on the page or in the room? Or you're pointing to things and bringing their attention in line with yours. But the real power is in the exchange. So even as you think about reading to them, think about leaving those pauses and asking questions during the reading to give them that space to reply, because that's where so much of the brain building and all of those, the brain architecture sort of forged through those back and forth conversations. So even though they're giving you coos and babbles instead of words and sentences, it's really important that they have that space to express themselves and begin to play around with the language.
What age is it when children really start to absorb the information that you're reading to them in a book?
I think they are absorbing information from day one. but it's just not always in ways that they can articulate or ways that we necessarily understand. Different kids, by the time they're around like two or three, is when they're starting to pay more attention to the actual print. And that, again, is a result of how the parent has presented the pages. Like if the parent is tracing underneath the lines of the story as they're reading it, then the child is more likely to pay attention to those lines and squiggles on the page. In picture books, the pictures are so much more engaging. The pictures, the colors, all of the things that are going on, everything is more engaging than just the text on the page. So in terms of like print awareness and helping kids understand that text runs from left to right or from the top of the page to the bottom of the page, those kinds of lessons, they're not picking up till they're two or three. But I think absolutely the value and exposure to the language is they're picking it up. And over time, they'll respond with the words you've been saying.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Yeah, I was reading to my younger daughter recently, and she's about to be 3, and she's been sitting in on kind of reading time her whole life because she has an older sister. And she was reciting, like she had clearly memorized the entire book that we've been reading that week. And it was wild to see, like, she just recited the entire book just based on like the pages that we were going through. So it's definitely interesting to be able to also watch them shift in their ability to retain certain information that you've been kind of casually reading to them for a while, and then also have them be able to put certain things in books, whether it's words or behaviors or images, into action outside of reading to them, which is also why what you read to them, I'm sure, at some point gets to be something to pay attention to, right? Because they then start absorbing the information in a different way. What age is it that kids hit where they start taking either words or behaviors or parts of stories and actually applying them to life?
I think it happens to different kids at different ages, but part of it, a big part of it, is the conversation that the parent has kind of led around the book. So some parents will also ask, is it okay to read, my child only wants to hear this one book. Is it okay to read that same book over and over and over again? And I like to say, absolutely, it is. Even though you get bored with it as the adult, there are just 1,000 lessons, even in the simplest book. And we forget that. Like, they're learning about turning pages. They're learning, as I mentioned, about the directionality of text. They're paying attention to different words and different readings. And if you're pointing to things, or even they might start to identify individual letters, if they get to a point where you're starting to talk about letters and the lines and dots and curves. So I think it's not hugely important, the content of the book. I spoke with one mom who was working on her dissertation. And so she was reading passages of that aloud to her baby that was strapped to her chest. And I'm like, I don't think they're understanding necessarily that really advanced vocabulary. But again, they're getting something out of your voice. And when they're cooing after hearing you and you respond and you ask a question, and it's kind of like the talk before, during, and after the reading matters too, not just the content.
For those of us who have the routine of reading to your kids before bedtime, and both my daughters now, even during the day, like at the breakfast table when we're eating together, they're like, can you read me a book? How much should people be reading to their children?
I think that what you've mentioned, kind of tying it to specific points in your day, so bedtime or mealtime, or definitely whenever they're asking you for a book, that's gold.
Yeah.
So you're not forcing it upon them. So just being responsive to their interests. And so it's also good, just a good practice to have books around the house in different places that you're going to be, and not kind of refine it to bedtime and not to make it feel like something you do only at the end of the day when you're sleepy. And then there's some parents who are working or have other challenges that make bedtime not the best time to read. So it's okay to read at breakfast or when they're waking up or when they're in the tub. So definitely seize all those opportunities. I would say for parents of babies, just start with 5 minutes. I think that some parents are intimidated by the idea of establishing a bedtime story routine or a reading routine because they're thinking, I just don't have that much time, because they imagine it as like an hour of Harry Potter every day. But as we mentioned earlier, some little ones' attention spans are so short. So a lot of it is about you as a parent getting in the habit of having reading material around, like seizing those everyday opportunities to read and getting them excited about it so they ask for more, and then you can respond when they're asking for it in addition to those normal spaces you have created a ritual around reading.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
One of the reasons that this book is interesting to me, and just like your goal with putting a book like this out about early literacy for children, is the idea that we want children to love to read. And I remember when I was growing up, my mom always really tried to get my sister and I, who are a year and a half apart, to love to read. And we went through phases of really loving to read. We were never kids that were allowed to sit inside and watch TV or watch movies or do anything like that. But we spent a lot of time outside, and we really had ups and downs of, you know, when you're little and you get like a new series that you really like and you just want to power through that. But then you get older, and in school, reading becomes something that's tedious and that's homework and a job to do. And you kind of, for me at least, I lost that relationship with reading that made it enjoyable, and it felt more like a thing to do or a chore or work because it was for homework. Do you have any advice for parents who want kids to maintain the joy around reading and instill that from an early age that will allow them to hopefully maintain that joy for reading throughout their adulthood?
I think one big thing is just around following their interests and making it a point to find more books related to that. Like if you see that they're enjoying a certain topic, get more books on that topic, or a certain author, get the whole series, or take them to the library to get it. So part of it is the reading material, but another part that's overlooked is reading skill. It's very hard for a child to fall in love with reading if they struggle with it, if they have memories of like just a horrible path to learning to read in the first place. And so a lot of kids don't enjoy reading, don't love it, don't find books that they're attracted to because reading is hard. They don't associate it with enjoyment. So part of the mission of the book also is getting parents to do the simple everyday things that support strong reading skills early so that it's not as hard for kids to catch on when they're getting sort of explicit systematic phonics instruction at some point in school. So kids who've been read to, but kids who've also played word games with you or sung nursery rhymes or, you know, all of these playful everyday ways of building some of these alphabet skills and awareness of sounds within words just makes the path to learning to read easier, which makes it more enjoyable. You mentioned series. My daughter, I remember in kindergarten, they were into the Owl Diaries, and so the girls will trade their copies of the Owl Diaries. Now she's 13, and they're trading copies of some dystopian novel series that has 12 books in it. But there were times in between where there wasn't that social element, and there wasn't the exchange with friends, and I think that is part of the fun with kids also. So even as adults, as moms, we often have book clubs. I think that's an important element of it for kids too, that they're, even though reading feels like this solitary exercise, when they have conversations with friends around the books, I think that fuels their love of it more.
This past week with my daughters, I often read them books together because they're pretty close in age and they like a lot of the same books. And recently I came across reading a book that actually my sister pulled out and came to me and she was like, why is this book in the girls' book library? And I was like, what do you mean? It was given to me when I had, they were born and I haven't even read it. And all of a sudden they want to pull it out because it has glitter on the cover and it looks more interesting to them. And my sister was like, I just sat down to read this book to them and it says, stupid, it says ugly, it says all these different words in the book. And you see now, especially as they get older, that they then go and repeat a lot of the words that are in the books. My sister helps me with so much with my kids. And she was like, this is not a book that you should have. And I was like, you're totally right. I didn't even know that a book that I see around all the time for kids would have that language in it. Do you have any wisdom for parents who might be experiencing it like me of like, oh my gosh, do I need to go through and edit every single book before I buy a book and make sure that these words aren't in them? And why are these books even being marketed towards, you know, preschoolers if they have words like stupid and ugly that kids are just going to? And then obviously what part of it is just like a natural part of them reading books with different language in them? But I was very surprised by that.
I think it, especially with books that you receive as gifts, like baby showers and birthday parties.
Totally, yeah.
You sort of assume, but it's a really, in many cases, they haven't read the whole book either before they gave it to you. Maybe they just saw the pretty cover or a bookseller recommended it. But I absolutely, particularly with kids in this age range and the books are short, recommend reading it through and making sure it aligns with what you think they should be seeing and hearing. But also with some of the books that are kind of borderline, use that as an opportunity to have discussion around those words. Like, how do you feel when you hear the word ugly or stupid? And is that a word we should be using? Or is it a word you have heard in real life? Because oftentimes the things in books are things that they're seeing and experiencing outside of your house. And so it's worth a conversation to address and sort of frame. But I think absolutely as a parent, you can curate your own home library and maybe less emphasis on what to keep out, but being really thoughtful about what you bring in.
Before becoming a parent, I already was having my feelings and thoughts about technology with children and just how present it is in childhood. And I have a 12 and a half year old stepson, and I very quickly got a glimpse into what that generation is experiencing as far as iPads and technology, and even on play dates, like playing video games or playing on your iPad. And it was such a foreign concept to me because I had such clear rules around watching TV when I was growing up that I didn't really, I was very shocked at how much kids are on technology now. And also how much that takes away from any opportunity to do things like reading or coloring or journaling, doing crafts, spending time with your family. It's kind of like an automatic go-to for so many people when they have a moment of downtime or a moment of what they would call boredom, you go to technology. And I am curious, I'm sure it's really impacted people's desire to read and also ability to really fall in love with reading. And it's a interesting conversation that I'm sure you have with people all the time, because I just know that with my stepson, for example, we don't have him, we don't let him have an iPad at our house. And the amount of reading that he has done since he's not on, you know, he has boundaries with technology. He goes through books, reads books, and I truly think that he wouldn't do any of that if he had the ability to just go on some electronic or technology. Is that a big topic that you're talking about in your world of wanting to preserve this like amazing part of childhood that is reading, but also battling the tech world?
Absolutely. And as my parents, my husband and I often just have to kind of like affirm our decisions with each other and like give each other pep talks, like, you're the parent. Or because like they get more, as they get older, they get more and more persuasive about why they think they need technology. But you can see the benefits in disposition, in how much conversation they're willing to have with you, and all of these different things you can see as they get older, the impact of technology very clearly. And so as they get older and friends have more or different rules in their houses about technology or social media or all of these things, it can kind of be hard to hold the line. But as we're the parents, our mantra, and we do as parents, as adults, have access to all of this information and research about the negative impacts of technology use in kids. And I think it's even more important in those formative early years, because when people are handing toddlers phones and playing videos or even giving them apps that they think are educational, they're literally changing the architecture of their brain. So I think it's even more important. And I always tell parents to think about monitor your own use and the behaviors that you're monitoring about technology, particularly with the little ones, because you may be reading a book on your phone through the Kindle app or whatever ebook reader you use. But to a child, all they know is your attention is on that device and not on them. And they don't know if you're on social media or whatever else you're doing. So I think it always starts with the parent, what you're doing, how mindful you are. And you're absolutely right that when you take the devices away, the reading goes up when kids have the skills to read fluently so that they can enjoy longer books, which also creates more immersive experiences for them, more new vocabulary. My daughter has learned so many words from these dystopian novels that she's reading and her friends are reading, and she'll talk about like the different senses of a word, or like, oh, in this chapter, they used the word blunt to describe a person, but then it meant something different when they used the word blunt to describe an object. And it just changes the everyday dialogue that you have when books are a topic of conversation, and technology takes away from that. And it takes away from parents of young children having the back and forth conversations that really build kids' receptive and expressive vocabulary skills.
One of the things that my mom did when I was growing up, especially during spring break or summer break, winter break of school, was make sure that every single day we did at least 30 minutes of reading. Is that something that you recommend for people who are coming up on summer breaks and a lack of routine, maybe, that having their kids stay consistent with reading is a good thing, or does it make it feel forced for children?
I think it depends kind of on the dynamic with that individual parent and child. One thing that's like a lighter touch but gets to the same point is no devices until. So, you know, maybe till after lunch or whatever. So you're creating that space that they have to fill with something other than the device. And so then it feels more like they've chosen the reading as opposed to mandating the 30 minutes and having a timer. But for some kids, that absolutely, some kids, okay. If you have the kind of kid that is just going to do what you ask without putting up a fight, like it can be powerful too. And again, it just sort of communicates your values as a parent and what you think is important. And if you can do, some families do the time together. So, you know, it's family reading time and the 30 minutes after dinner, we're all reading together. We're reading, not necessarily me reading to you or you reading to me, although it might be that sometimes. It can also be the kids in the family all with their own individual books, even the ones that can't read yet are turning the pages and playing with books.
Great. Well, this was such a fun topic to talk about. And this is such a great book to be able to have at this phase of my parenting, and also for so many people who haven't even necessarily embarked on this journey yet, but also just being able to be equipped with the information is so helpful. And I love that you're such a champion for reading, because it's such a great gift that I feel like is one that could go away without people really having mindful rules or mindful thoughts and ideas that they're able to put into action with their children. So thank you so much for talking about this. And I'm really hopeful now with all the reading tips I have.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much to Maya for talking all things reading and child literacy. I'm so excited to be able to put all of these tips and tricks into action with my kids. And I encourage you to go get the book called Reading for Our Lives.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.